Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with the Modern. To those of you unfamiliar with the program, each Sunday, with some exceptions for holidays, though not this one, obviously, we invite prominent local artists, art historians, architects, and others to give us their thoughts on works on view. Next week, we welcome New York artist Eric Parker, who opens the first in our Focus exhibition series for emerging artists. Eric will speak on his own work. Additional details about further speakers are available at themodern.org. I love this ominous. Wait for it.
I like it.
Today, with that introduction, we welcome Annette Lawrence. Annette is currently a professor of drawing and painting at the University of North Texas. She holds a BFA from the Hartford Art School and an MFA from the Maryland Institute College of Art. A New York native, she's been based in Texas since 1990. Her work is widely held in museums and private collections in Texas and the United States. You can see a large-scale commission work, Coin Toss, celebrated this year at Cowboy Stadium in Arlington. She's also shown in numerous group and solo shows. She's represented locally by Dun & Brown Contemporary in Dallas. Is that correct? I urge you to visit AnnetteLawrence.net for more information about her fascinating work. As she describes it herself, the work is generally related to text and information, often in response to physical space and time. It's grounded in autobiography, counting, and the measurements of everyday life. You can see her work upcoming between December 9th and 12th at the Fairmont Hotel in an installation sponsored by the Visual Arts Network. Annette Lawrence.
Thank you. Wow, well, this is really loud, is it? Okay. Thank you for coming on this holiday weekend. I'm so glad you're here. I wanted to start in here, but I think it might be too much interference with the sound. But I like that. That was good.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm going to focus on the chalkboard paintings, kind of almost exclusively. So this is the first one in the show. Or going backwards, but this is the first example of it. It's called The Time Falling Objects. And the thing that I'm most interested in about the chalkboard paintings is I usually gravitate towards, when I'm looking at artist work, I gravitate towards the things I think has been given the most love by the artist. You know, that's what I kind of respond to. And I think that the chalkboards are that for what's happening in this show for me, and maybe for Vernon in general in his studio. I've never asked him this, but they're my favorite. Okay, let's move in the other room. So I didn't have anything specific to say about each painting, but just in general about the chalkboards. And I feel like they're about mainly the loss of innocence. And Vernon has a lot of literary references, and his background is actually in literature before he became an artist. And so the loss of innocence is kind of a common theme in literature, and it's also really present in his work. The other thing I think about these chalkboards are, They're really romantic. You know, we talk about this in the context of postmodernism, but I find them to be just lush and beautiful, poetic. And there's something about the kind of the temporality of these paintings, and that they are basically about change and vulnerability, and also. They remind us that creativity includes destruction and construction. You know, building it up and breaking it down is all part of the same act of creativity. So while I've been preparing for this talk, it's about a month or so, I've been just taking notes on this piece of paper. And yesterday I did a pretty intensive Google search on various things. But a few things have just been reminded of, and one is a quote by an artist, a writer, that I heard in Australia last year. The writer is Wells Tower. And his collection of short stories is Everything Ravaged, Everything Burned. That's the title of his short story collection. But one of the things he said in the talk was when he was, before he went to grad school, I guess as an undergrad, he used to think about revision as cleaning up after the party. But then when he was in grad school, he realized that revision was the party. And then after he finished grad school and was just kind of working as a writer, he realized there was no party. And I love that about making art. I mean, you do figure that out one thing at a time. There are a few artists, and I think my tendency when I'm faced with making a presentation is to do everything I can to contextualize the subject. And the visual artists that come to mind for me with Vernon are James Rosenquist and David Sally. Those are really obvious. But in reading about the show and hearing the talks and paying attention, Rosenquist is not mentioned, you know. And I just thought, how interesting. He's so present for me, you know. And so I looked up Rosenquist, and he was born in 1933. His 77th birthday is tomorrow. He was born November 29th. And part of why I think of him is the kind of using disparate images all in one space is something that he did, as well as many other artists. But he's kind of the person I think that had it as a signature first. And then I noticed that, you know, Verna was born in 1943, which is exactly 10 years later. And then David Sally was born in 1952, which is almost exactly 10 years later. And so the three of them are this kind of triad. And in Vernon's talk, you mentioned how he was born between radio and television. I think that's an interesting observation. And I think there's also, his references are all kind of from the late 40s and 50s. And David Sally's references are all from like the 60s, late 50s, early 60s. Just that 10 years made a really, really big difference in history and in what the person's point of references would be. And we can keep walking to the next chalkboard painting. This one is titled Rules for Bending Circles. This room has two paintings I want to talk about. Objects in the Field over here is on canvas, and it's not a chalkboard, but it has the feeling of a chalkboard. And the piece over there is titled Evidence of Houdini's Return. It's from 1994. Objects in a Field is from 1986. I'm really interested in the structure of the chalkboard paintings and the attention to like how well built they are, and the and just the surface itself, the lushness of that sort of chalkboard material. In reading about these paintings, I hadn't known this, even though I've been looking at the work for about 14 years, that it's oil paint. I never really thought about what the material was, but it's sort of a perfect fake. You know, there's this trompe l'oeil thing that is really, really effective. Oil paint really acts like chalk. Who knew? During the weeks that I've been preparing for this, I'm constantly listening to NPR, and Terry Gross has had some interesting guests in the last few weeks. And one of them was Bruce Springsteen. He just had his new box set come out. And I wrote down this quote from him. You are drawn to things that make you seek out what they are about. And then he also said, you carry landscapes within you. And he's talking about his music, but those things seem quite relevant to this work. And the other artist, the next day, right after Bruce Springsteen, Terry Gross interviewed Sean Carter, who is Jay-Z, because he's written a book called Decoded. And I just thought it was an interesting juxtaposition of people. And also thought it was interesting that Jay-Z feels, well, he has written a book that demystifies the lyrics of his raps and probably demystifies the culture of hip-hop to a certain extent. I haven't read the book, but I am actually interested in reading it, which I haven't had that much of an interest in hip-hop in general, but this book is really intriguing. One of the things I really love about this painting is the parachute image, and it shows up many, many times. I asked Vernon about it, and he said that the thing that interests him about a parachute is the structure of it, the actual physical sort of formal qualities of something that's circular being made in these small sections. And there's a piece with pumpkins around the corner there. It has the same form. And there's an umbrella around here that has the same form. And just like things that are made out of sort of triangular slices that create circles repeat themselves in the work. Okay, let's keep walking. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about it that much. I think it sort of sets up a dynamic where there's an expectation that it's chalk, and it reinforces the illusion. That's pretty much all I think about it. Did you have thoughts on it?
Well, I hadn't thought of it until I asked you the question, and listening to what you were saying, but I think that, I know that he did put real chalk, because he had real chalk, and people actually used it to draw off through, so he stopped that. So I understand the reason for it being so, but I think it maybe on these pieces offers an element of potential, like there's more to be said or done.
Mm-hmm.
Not,
like the piece isn't finished.
Yeah, yeah.
There's materials here available to continue. Yeah. I think that without the chalk, that feeling is still there.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Because of how they just, you know, the images appear and disappear. It looks like that can just go on. It's metaphorical. And actually, I was thinking just a little bit ago about how in visual art, when you're being figurative, you're actually being literal in the literary sense. So in literature, figurative things are metaphorical.
Right.
But in visual art, figurative things are representational.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
I love that too. That's good.
Okay, let's keep going. In Vernon's talk about his paintings, he talked a bit about the way films are shot or used to be shot, where there's a long shot, an intermediate shot, and a close-up. And he uses that in his work quite a bit. And I was going to show you that in each painting, and I forgot. So I just thought I'd say it. And this one is part of a group of work that was inspired by the book The Heart of Darkness. And my one of the things that I think about when thinking about that book and using it as a place of a point of departure is all the African writers that I've read and looking at the continents of Africa from the perspective of an African person. And I just wanted to give a few examples of excellent books. Ayikwe Armar is one of the most sort of formative African writers from the 60s, 70s. And he wrote two great novels. 2000 Seasons is one, and The Healers is the other one. And I'm not going to say a lot of people, just three writers. Bessie Head is another writer who I kind of came across when I was in South Africa in 1998. And most of her writing is short stories, but she has one novel. And the novel is called A Question of Power. And the short stories are The Collector of Treasures and When Rain Clouds Gather. And she's, Ayikwe Amar is, I believe, Senegalese, but he spent a lot of time living in Ghana. Or maybe it's the other way around. I'm sorry, I didn't check that. And Bessie Head is actually from Botswana and spent a lot of time in South Africa. She kind of covers the southern African sub-Saharan area. And Chimamanda Adichie wrote a book called Half of a Yellow Sun. And that's a really contemporary book. I think it was published just a couple of years ago. And her book is about the conflict in Nigeria with the Biafrans and that Biafran revolution. And it's about the war, but it's about the people in the war more than it is about just the struggle itself. And it's layered with politics, but it's a kind of, she's probably in her 30s. And her parents were part of this struggle. And so her perspective on it is a little bit removed, but still kind of immediate. Anyway, there's a great piece on TED. You know, those TED.com talks. Chimamanda Adichie gives a talk called The Danger of Only One Story, or something like that, that you should find if you have an opportunity. She talks about her growing up as a writer. In talking about or thinking about the loss of innocence, while we're still here in the Heart of Darkness corridor, the thing that I refer to the most when I think about the loss of innocence is a film called A Dry White Season. Has anybody seen that? It's by a filmmaker named Uzan Palsy, and it came out in 1989. And it's about apartheid. It's about a white South African man whose political conscience is raised through events that are happening to his gardener and his gardener's son that immediately impact him. And in the beginning, he's like, oh, it's nothing we can do. Or when the young boy gets in trouble, he says, oh, he must have done something wrong. You know, and he went from those sort of kind of platitudes to becoming really deeply involved in trying to have justice, which was not forthcoming in that system. And so he gets this huge kind of understanding of the system he's living in and has been living in, and he transforms himself. It's Donald Sutherland plays the character that has this transformation. It's really brilliant. Okay, let's keep going. So this painting is not on a surface, it's painted directly on the wall. And I think that Vernon is really well known for his works that are temporal like this. So in addition to the chalkboard itself being kind of a temporary surface, the painting goes away when the show comes down. And that's always kind of fascinated me. Let's see what else. I wanted to share that my main connection to Vernon is as a colleague at the University of North Texas. His last 9 years teaching were my first nine. And so I was kind of getting my sea legs as he was on his way out. And I think that's an interesting overlap. And 9 years doesn't seem like, well, actually seems like a long time in one hand and no time at all when you actually experience it. I have a couple of quotes that I want to share with you. I started out talking about how I feel like the chalkboard paintings are the ones that have the most love or that feel the most loved by the artist. And James Baldwin has this beautiful quote. He says, "Love does not begin and end the way we seem to think it does. Love is a battle. Love is a war. Love is a growing up." And that sort of ties in with the loss of innocence theme that I think is prevalent in this work. "Love does not begin and end the way we seem to think it does. Love is a battle. Love is a war. Love is a growing up."